It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Welcome to the teaching ministry of Life Changing Ministries International with Dr. E.K.D. Quick. With your Bible in hand and your heart open to learn, let's join the teaching in progress.
From the book of Luke, chapter 18, verses 9 through 14, the parable of the Pharisee and the publican. A parable is a natural illustration that teaches a spiritual principle. A parable is a natural illustration that teaches, explains, expounds upon, and illustrates a literal spiritual point. A parable sometimes can be allegory, but it still has a literal meaning, a spiritual meaning that we can apply to our lives. These parables that Jesus teaches are literal in a sense that they are real in practical application, real illustrations from real examples that teach a spiritual principle that we need to walk in, embrace, and apply to our daily life. Parables are found throughout the Bible. There's over 20 different parables in the Old Testament and over 70 parables in the New Testament. Jesus Christ himself often taught with parables, and Jesus Christ gave the explanation why he uses parables in Matthew chapter 13, starting with verse number 10. It says, "And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou thus unto them in parables? And he answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given." Mysteries in this context, the biblical context, always means that God has hidden something and now is revealing something. It's a mystery that is yet to be revealed, and now in this season, God is revealing it to his people, that they may know the will of God for their life and the plan of God for the ages to come. It goes on to say in verse 16, "But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For truly, or verily, I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them." Here, Jesus Christ, Matthew 13, is teaching that there are some who believe, and their eyes are open, and their ears are open, to know the spiritual truths of God, which are given unto them in parables. And there are some who do not see and do not hear the spiritual principles of God that are taught in parables. Those that are here receive it by faith. Those that don't deny what they hear and deny what they see. So Jesus Christ teaches in parables simple, natural illustrations that give a spiritual principle and truth. Back to Luke chapter 18 and verse 9. "And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others." When individuals trust in themselves that they are righteous within themselves, that they are worthy of the kingdom of God in themselves, they begin to look down upon others because they hold themselves in high esteem. They look to themselves as having the answers. They look to themselves as being better than others. And as a result, they look down upon others, dislike others, and sometimes even despise others. These are individuals that trust in themselves. Verse number 10. "Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican." Who is this Pharisee? Who is this publican? The Pharisees were a religious sect of the Jews back in the biblical days, predating the coming of Christ, and were in much popularity and much power during the days of Christ. This word Pharisee literally means the separate ones. They were the separatists. They were the individuals that thought that they were better than others. They were the legalists of that day. They were the ones that tried to earn their salvation by doing this and doing that, and by not doing certain things and not doing that. These were individuals that kept the letter of the law, that dotted every I and crossed every T. However, these individuals did not have the proper motive. They were not doing this from a love of God in their heart. They were doing it to try and merit and earn salvation. They were trying to earn their way to salvation by doing everything they thought they should do and avoiding and not doing things they should not do. These were the legalists of that day. And as a result, they were very judgmental of others because they would look to others and say, well, you're not doing the things I'm doing. I'm doing this and I'm doing that. Therefore, they look down upon other individuals. They look down upon many. These were the Pharisees. These were the separate ones. These were the separatists of that day. The religious leaders that were the legalists of that society. Who is this publican? The publicans were the tax collectors of that day. They were the local IRS of that day. Some would even call them extortioners in that day. Why is that? Because these individuals were highly despised among their Jewish brethren and sisters. Why? Because they were hired by the Romans, being Jews themselves, to collect taxes from the Jews and give them to the Romans. However, these individuals collected not the standard 10, 15, 20% taxes. They would collect 80%, 85%, 90% taxes, and they would give the Romans their due and keep the rest in their pocket. They were extortioners of that day. They were worse than loan sharks. They would extort their own people and give the exorbitant taxes to their captors. The military empire of that day that was enslaving them called the Romans. So they were looked upon as individuals who betrayed their own people. They were classified with the harlots. Throughout the scriptures, you'll see phrases called the publicans and the harlots. They were classified together because they were looked down upon by their people because they were extorting their own people for greedy gain, giving the Romans exorbitant taxes and keeping a kickback for themselves. Not only were they extortioners, but they had the power of the Roman government behind them to collect the taxes. So if their brethren would not pay taxes, they would haul them off into prison. Why? They had the power of the Romans behind them to collect their taxes. They would collect furniture, put wives or husbands into servitude and slavery. They would sell off their children in order to get their taxes. They were the extortioners of that day, worse than loan sharks. They were despised among the people. Verse number 11 and number 12. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. So here we can see in verse 11 and verse 12 the problem of the Pharisee. He had what's called in the old time church, I-itis. He had many I statements. It was all about him. He was caught up in what we used to call the unholy trinity. Me, myself, and I. Here he is comparing himself one with another. This Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 12, for we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. Here the Pharisee is falling into one of the oldest tricks of the enemy. He's beginning to compare and contrast himself with others. We can always find somebody more challenged than ourselves. We can always find someone that may be struggling more than us as a convenient way for us to excuse our own behavior. And we begin to say to ourselves, I'm not doing what they're doing. I'm not as bad as they are. At least I'm not doing what they're doing. I'm not going where they're going. At least I don't say what they say. I'm not as bad as they are. I'm not as bad as what this person does. And this kind of comparing and contrasting is the same thing that the Pharisees did. The measuring stick for God's salvation is not one to another. It's not between you and I or between other individuals. The measuring stick for God's salvation is faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and what He has done on the cross of Calvary. The Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says that there is none righteous, no, not one. The Bible says that all of our righteousness is as filthy rags. So comparing ourselves one to another is not wise, because no matter how we see another individual, we are also in need of a Savior. No matter how we compare and contrast, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Here, the Pharisee is falling into the trap of I-itis. What letter is in the middle of the word pride? I. What letter is in the middle of the word lie? I. What letter is in the middle of the word sin? I. Somehow, some way, the eyes do not have it. This is the same trap that Lucifer fell into when he was cast out of heaven back in the beginning. Isaiah chapter 14, verses 12 through 15 gives us context and explanation on how we can get caught up into pride if we're not careful. Verse 12 says, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit." So here, the same thing the Pharisee got caught up in with multiple I statements, Isaiah explains that Lucifer got caught up in with his multiple I statements. As a result, he fell. He was cast down. Jesus said, "Behold, I beheld Satan cast out as lightning." The Bible says, "Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall." Be careful of multiple I statements. Be careful of comparing and contrasting. Be careful of pride. In contrast, we ought to have compassion one to another, knowing that except for the grace of God, it could be me also in that same calamity. Also, we see here that no matter what we do, we cannot earn our way to salvation. It's not what we do to be saved. It's what's already been done on the cross of Calvary. The Bible says we are saved by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. Here the Pharisee is doing a lot of boasting. David said, "I shall make my boast in the Lord." It was Jesus Christ on the cross. It was His tears. It was His suffering. It was His blood. It was His shame. It was Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. It's nothing we do to earn salvation. We don't do good works to be saved. We do good works after we're saved to demonstrate our faith and love in the Lord. Verse number 13. "And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner." Here we see the publican standing in the back, not wanting to be in the spotlight, not wanting to be in the forefront, overcome with grief and shame and guilt. And these are good experiences. Guilt should lead us to confession. Guilt should lead us to acknowledging that we are lost and in need of a Savior. And this is what the publican does. He cries out and says, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. The publican does not begin to go over his resume. The publican does not begin to go over the things he's done and the things he's not done. The publican simply smotes his breast and says, oh God, have mercy upon me. It's okay for us to look to God for help, and only to God for help. For David said, I'll look to the hills, for with cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. The Bible says that God is a very present help in the time of trouble. The Bible says, this poor man cried, and the Lord heareth him and delivereth him out of all his troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them of a broken heart, and saveth such of a contrite spirit. We are saved by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, not of works, lest any man should boast. Verse number 14, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalts himself shall be abased, and he that humbles himself shall be exalted. The Bible says, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Be careful of pride. Be careful of looking at ourselves as having all the answers and looking down upon others. There is a paradox in the Bible that if you want to go up in the Lord, we have to go down on our knees. What we used to call in the old time church, kneebone valley. If you want to exalt yourself, then we will be humbled. So there is a paradox. If you want to go up in the Lord, we have to go down in humility. The book of James teaches this in chapter 4 and verse number 6. The Bible says, but he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resists the proud and giveth grace unto the humble. Dropping down to the 10th verse, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. God is looking for a meek and lowly spirit, humble spirit, teachable spirit, open spirit, someone who is like a sponge and says to the Lord, Lord, I know nothing. Teach me, show me, lead me, guide me. Jesus Christ also said, except ye be converted and be as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of God. Children are teachable. Children are soft and pliable. Children are open. We ought to be as little children. All he could do was cry out and say, oh God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And many times this is how we feel, like we're overwhelmed in our situation, like our sins have gone over our head and there's no way out. This was the expression and the feeling of the publican. He thought that there was no way out within himself, and all he could do was look down, smote himself, and say, when we reach the end of our road and we've tried all that we can try, it's time. Sometimes we go to the end of the road and we've tried and tried and tried to remedy and to fix and rectify our own situation, but to no avail. It's time for us to look up to the hills from whence cometh our help and to cry out to God. The Bible says, come unto me and in no wise will I cast you out. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, burdened down with life's experiences, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart. And you shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The way up, a closer walk with the Lord, a way for more intimacy is to fall on our knees in humility and cry out to God, as did this publican did in the prayer, and God will raise us up. Those who exalt themselves as the Pharisee shall be abased and humbled. Those that humble themselves as the publican will be risen up in Christ and have a relationship with the Lord. And great is your reward in the kingdom of heaven. This is the parable of the Pharisee and of the publican. And on today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, or if you have strayed away from His love and kindness, I invite you to pray with me this prayer of salvation, this prayer of rededication. This prayer will change your life. Pray with me. Oh God, I am a sinner. I have strayed away from your loving kindness. I believe that Jesus Christ died for my sins. I believe that God raised him from the dead. Come into my heart. Come into my life. Save me today. Forgive me, I pray. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Thank you for listening to the teaching ministry of Life Changing Ministries International. LCMI is a Christian non-denominational teaching ministry based solely on the Holy Bible, dedicated to pleasing God, glorifying Jesus Christ, and ensuring that the Bible is the foundation in everything this ministry proclaims and endorses. For more information, log on to our website at lifechangingministries.com. Please join us again next time for more Bible teaching. And remember, we have the victory through Jesus Christ.